Good morning. I want to greet each one in Christ's name this morning. And also want to welcome everyone here. I've enjoyed, been blessed so far with the service and the Sunday school, and appreciated what people have shared this morning. Lowe's devotions and your thoughts, William, those were encouraging. This morning, I want to have a message, and it's about serving. When we think of serving, we think of serving the Lord. And the Bible's meaning of serving, in almost all the verses that talk about serving in the Bible, it's giving the meaning of obeying God and following Him in our actions. Like Joshua says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And this morning, I want to look at just a little different aspect, maybe look at more of serving in the kingdom of God. And, you know, while we're serving the Lord, we serve God in our actions, in our deeds. I agree, it's hard to separate between the two. They're closely related. One has to do with specifically, I'm going to serve the Lord. The other has to do more with maybe how we serve the Lord, or our attitude of serving the Lord. And even more specific is what we do in serving the Lord. How can you serve the Lord if you're not willing to serve? So if you're not willing to sacrifice and give up of your life and serve, how can you serve the Lord? And I'm not answering that question. I just think about that. But for an introduction, I'd like to just have us consider our church right here, the church that we all, this church, this local church. And in our church here, we have many needs. We have physical needs, and we have spiritual needs. We have all of these needs, whether they're physical or spiritual. We have them in our young people. We have them in our young married. We have them in our older people. We have them in our middle-aged people. We have needs in our school. We have some of our families who are involved in mission work in various places, and they have needs. There are people in our community who have needs, and people in other churches who have needs. And yet, when you think about all of these needs, we still have people here today, right here, that feel that we're not needed. We have this feeling like we're not needed. And I'm glad that William brought out the point we need to have victory over our feelings, because they're just feelings. And we sometimes, we feel useless. There are some of us that don't get asked to teach Sunday school. And there are some of us who never get voted in to serve on certain committees. And we look at some of these things and we feel like there's no need for me. I'm not needed. And sometimes I'll leave that point be. But this is not associated with age. This feeling, this mind that comes into our mind, it starts out at a young age, and it goes through till all of our life long. We can be tempted with this thinking, this feeling, and we don't recognize that. Well, I'll leave that go too yet. Sorry about that. But why do we feel this way? You know, some people you have heard it said, and you've probably said it yourself, that you need to give that person some responsibility. Then he'll feel needed. And that's true. But I don't believe that that's the ultimate problem. And I think that it's good to give people responsibility, but it's not very fun to give someone responsibility that doesn't fulfill the responsibility. So we should be careful about that. And I don't think it's the actual problem. And why do we feel this way? Is it because we actually don't have anything to do? Is it because we aren't needed? Is that why we feel this way? Because we just simply aren't needed. Or maybe there are those who feel like, we just have too much. I have way too much to do. And I think we have both of those. We have people that feel both ways. And people that feel like I'm not needed, and people that feel like I have too much. Someone else needs to do some of this. But, and I think all these feelings are relevant. And at some point in our life, you will, I will, we all experience that time where we go through there. But this morning, as we look at this message of serving, I would like to suggest that that these feelings are a result of another problem. And that problem is that it's twofold. I think the problem is that we are being selfish with our own lives. And second, that leads into us becoming discontent with where God has called us, where God has put us, the position, the thing that he has given us to do. And that might sound harsh, but I couldn't get around it. I have these feelings too, and I sometimes have felt useless. And I remember some years ago when we were having reorganization I didn't want to be voted in to be song leader, and I was worried that I might be. And because every time that I was to have a position like that, that when you get up to lead singing, there you feel this tight feeling, and that wasn't very fun. And also the responsibility of having a position like that, you have to be at church on time. And you might think this is weird, but the idea that I have to be on church on time, I don't like that. I want it to be, if I get to church 2 minutes late, it's okay. And that's selfish. I admit, that's selfish. I think it is selfish. And even today, I still have these feelings sometimes. I haven't been a deacon that long, but even still, flesh comes up and says, I don't want to do this. And I believe that's selfish too. And that you know, we all have to admit that and repent and tell the Lord that I want to be able to do whatever you ask, wherever you put me. Maybe you are a little different. I'm not going to accuse everyone of the same thing I am, and you can say that this problem is different than selfishness. And that my feeling of feeling useless, there's another problem. And I say that's fine. If you have another problem with it, I don't have a problem with that. I don't mind if you define the problem different than I did. But what I do, don't continue on with your thinking that you are useless and thinking that there are no ways for you to serve or that you are not needed or that you don't have much to do. That is sinful thinking. God has a special reason and a place for each one of us to serve. And I hope that we can just remember that. That is the one point that I would like if you could keep in your mind, that God has a place for each one of you to serve and a reason for you to serve, and he's got a reason for you to be serving as you are serving right now. And I'd like for us to remember that. For a scripture text, though, if you would like to turn with me to Matthew 9, I'm only going to read a few short verses. This is talks about the harvest. Jesus told his disciples to pray for the harvest, for laborers to the harvest. And many times this verse, this text is used for missionaries when they are coming to present their mission to a church. They use this context or this text. And I, as I was looking for a scripture to share with you about serving, this scripture kept coming back to me, and as I read it and studied it more, I think that the Lord of the harvest here is speaking about not just the people that need to hear the word of God the first time. There is a lot that it's speaking about. But let's read that, chapter 9, verse 35, just a couple verses here. Verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And back in verse 36, it says, Jesus had compassion on them because they fainted. And if you go back and look at that word fainted, and you study that word in this context, it brings out the point that the people were maybe a little frustrated. They were downtrodden. They felt hopeless. They didn't feel like there was any way for them to continue on. And so that thought is what gave me it makes me think that this, when Jesus is speaking about the harvest, he's not just speaking about people who need the Lord. I'll say that different. He's not just speaking about people who have never heard the gospel. We all need the Lord. And Jesus is comparing the harvest with people who have sickness, whether it be physical or spiritual. Those who don't know Jesus, I have a whole list of people or things that I think could be the harvest, and you could add to this list. But those who don't know Jesus, I agree. I think that's a good one. Those who are weak in the faith, that's part of the harvest. Those who simply are going through an extra hard spiritual battle. Older people in elder care homes that can't help themselves. Cancer patient in hospitals. Or those who are in the last throes of life. Children who are without parents. Young people who wreck their lives with bad habits. Relationship problems between children and parents. The church's struggle in standing for biblical doctrine, I think, is part of the harvest. The Church of Jesus Christ has a need to be built up and maintained. I think that's part of the harvest. The church lawn needs mowed. The church basement needs special cleaning. And there's various committees in the church that need wisdom and encouragement. The kingdom of God needs prayer warriors. Our country needs Christian people to pray often for those who are in authority. We need to have someone to have a topic in a moment's notice. We need people to be looking out for special needs in our communities. We need people to go to prisons and teach God's word. We need people to be mentors. There are many more needs. And that is why Jesus said the harvest is bountiful. There are so many needs. There are so many ways, so many things that need to get done, that need to be done. This world has a vacuum for laborers, people who are willing to serve, people who are willing to go help out in all of these needs that are all around us. It doesn't matter who you are. There's a vacuum. We all have something we can do. And I think that this list that I have just mentioned, you can add to it, but it makes it hard to dispute that each one of us is not needed, that it's hard for us to argue and say that we're not needed. When you look at that and you recognize that, how can you help but say that we're all needed in the kingdom of God? There's no one that can say that we're not needed. There's so much for each one of us to do. We just need to get up and get to work. And now I want to mention some excuses that Satan presents to our minds as reasonable thoughts to discourage us from laboring, to discourage us from serving. The first one I have is, I haven't been asked. I can't get off work. I'm too qualified to mow the church lawn. I need to use my time at serving on committees or preaching. If I willingly accept to have devotions or a topic, other people will think, I want to be a preacher or I'm trying to promote myself. I don't have the gift of public speaking. I can't do it. I fear what people might see about myself. I can't go visit the old people because it feels so awkward. It's not my turn. We are discouraged about serving because we see our peers and we see the people that are close to us, we see how materialistic they are in their thinking, and it discourages us. And people coming back from mission field, the devil hits these people really hard with this one, because they come back feeling so fulfilled in serving the Lord, and they come back to us in America, and here we are serving ourselves more than anything else is what they see. And the devil hits them with that discouragement. But we have it here too occasionally. But it's not a good thing to do. This is not a scriptural way to think. We should not be discouraged about serving for any reason. There are so many logical reasons why we might think that we are not needed, but how you serve and who you serve is not contingent on how other people are serving. You can serve regardless if anyone has asked you or if they haven't asked you. There is opportunity for all to serve. And as we think about serving and being willing to serve, many times we tell ourselves that someone is really good at serving and he has a gift of serving, and that is why he is so willing to do whatever we ask him to do. He's got a gift. And I want to remind us that serving is not a gift, but a choice. Serving is not a gift in itself. Although some people are better at serving, I will admit that, I agree with that. For whatever reasons, they're better at it. I still believe that serving is a choice that we make. There may be a time when people are better at serving because maybe they availed themselves to God more and they became better at it through experience. Maybe then you could call it a gift. But overall, I think that each one of us has the same ability to serve. It doesn't have to be the same kind of service. You know that being willing to serve takes a lot of personal sacrifice. You really have to give up of yourself. And sometimes it takes more of giving up of myself than what I even think is possible. It's even more what we even think is possible. We even have a hard time believing that we can actually do it. But God gives us the grace, and it is the right thing to do, to submit yourself to that. Another thing that happens to willing servers is that they get abused unfairly. We all know that all of us would rather ask someone to take a part on a topic or mowing the church lawn or whatever is included with the harvest. We'd rather ask someone to help us to do that is a willing server. If someone says, "I will be glad to do that," it's such a blessing to ask them. But if they have an excuse, the blessing is, it feels awkward. It feels bad. It doesn't feel good because, well, maybe I asked too much or whatever reason. So I'm just trying to bring out the point that a willing server is so much to ask. It's so refreshing. And because of that, they get asked more. And they get abused. Those people get abused. And if you're here today, you feel yourself that you've been treated unfairly in this way, I just encourage you to remember that there's a blessing for you. God sees your sacrifice and your giving up of yourself. He will bless you. Maybe you're one of those who feel you can't serve this way or any way, and I don't feel it's my business to tell you that you're wrong, but I just want to encourage you to make yourself extra available in other ways. But change your thinking that you can't serve or that you're not needed. That should be repented of. We all should be willing to give up of ourselves to serve. And we who feel abused because of our willingness to serve should not become discouraged in feeling sorry for ourselves. Those who are unwilling to give up of themselves to serve, I encourage you to change. The harvest is plentiful. There's much to be done. We all get tired of thankless serving. That is a normal feeling, and we all can experience that feeling. But we need to keep remembering that the harvest is plentiful, and don't grow weary in well-doing. Can a person serve too much or have wrong wrong motives in serving, changing a little bit. There is a feeling of fulfillment that comes from serving. And I believe that probably most everyone here probably has felt that, whether they know that's what they were feeling. But when you actually gave of yourself to some cause or something, it made you feel good. Many times it gives you a good feeling. When you volunteer your time to a certain project, it can refresh your spirit. And many times people get into serving because of this. I'm talking anybody, Christian, non-Christian people. But we need to remember that much serving will not save us. I think there can be benefit in it, but the serving that I'm thinking of this morning is serving that benefits the kingdom of God, specifically to do with the harvest. And there are many opportunities in our country in which you can serve other people. You know, if you serve on the local fire department, that is not bad. But we have to be honest with ourselves about why we are serving this way. There are ways to serve the kingdom of this world that are not bad. And if you're doing it to simply give up of yourself, I say that's good. I don't see that there's harm in that. But if you're doing it for other reasons, I fear for the motives that aren't beneficial for your soul. We should serve because we want to please the Lord. That should be our main purpose. And our making the choice to give up of ourselves should be our main reason to serve wherever we serve. If we want it to be good for the kingdom of God, for the harvest, that's where how we should serve. If we serve to be recognized, you're taking the profitability from the kingdom of God. I'll say it a little better. If you give up of yourself, if you sacrifice, you make a big sacrifice in your life to go do something else, maybe to be recognized or maybe to get special fulfillment just to feel good. I don't know if people do that or not, but maybe. You know, what you're really doing is you're trading values. You're saying, you're taking all this sacrifice to go serve in a certain way, but from that sacrifice that you've made, you're gaining something personal from it. You're not really sacrificing. You're just trading values. And so I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying that that's not truly serving for the harvest that it's speaking about in this scripture. That is not proper serving. It's just trading. I said that already. That is not the biblical serving that we really want to be doing, because it was really no sacrifice. We need to serve to please God. That will ensure God will give the honor and glory, and you won't be so tempted to feel unfairly abused in your serving. You won't feel you won't be so conscious about your feelings if you're serving for the right reason, because you will have said, I've given it up. I'm doing it because I love the Lord. Don't get weary in well-doing. I think that is another normal feeling that we all experience. But for us to think that it's okay to continue on with that, that's what's wrong. You know, we're going to have that feeling occasionally. But for us to justify it and think that I have done so much, people just don't recognize that. You know, that's not the right thinking. That's sinful. We need to if we really want to do it, when we get that feeling, we need to get victory over it and ask God to quit looking at myself and my own needs and start looking out. And many times when we start going down that road, it's when we become discontent. We become discontent with where God has us right now, what God has us doing. We start thinking that I would rather do that over there. I'd rather be a song leader, or I'd rather be a Sunday school teacher, or I'd rather be just mow the lawn. I just don't want to do this, what he's got me doing right now. It's too hard, and nobody recognizes my sacrifice. Your mind goes down that road, and you don't want that. It makes you discontent, and you get all upset, and you don't appreciate, you lose your gratitude towards many things, and you start to pine after something new, something different, something to change my life. I want to do something different. I remember when I was in Fair Play at boys camp for a time, and I came back and got married, and I just got a job and worked at Trust Tech for the first couple of years, and I just had this unfulfilled feeling that, you know, when you're on the mission field, you feel fulfilled. You feel like you're doing something that's worthwhile, and you just always feel like you're doing something really good and for a good purpose. But we have to realize that, I had to realize that just doing the normal things of life, you're going to work every day. You can serve the Lord going to work every day. You can serve the Lord and serve for the Lord sacrificially wherever God has you. And we have to realize that and be content in that. Be blessed with that. And thank God for those things, even if it's what we don't enjoy. Thank God for them so that we can learn to maybe get some enjoyment out of them. And then, in closing, just like to say this, the blessings we receive from biblical services or biblical service, you know, they're hard to recognize. It's hard to know sometimes. And so we just need to really focus on our final reward for serving willingly. I believe there's blessings that come from sacrificial serving now, but sometimes they're hard to find. Sometimes they're hard to see. Sometimes we don't really know that we're actually being blessed, but we are being blessed. And it's sometimes just we want to see it, and we want someone to tell us, but we don't want to focus on that. We want to focus on our eternal reward, and let it be at that. And then there's this little thing that I read. This is inscripted into the chapel in Stanford University. And it says, the highest service may be prepared and done in the most humblest surroundings. And then it says this after that, and it's talking about Jesus. It says, in silence, waiting in obscure, unnoticed offices, in years of uneventful, unrecorded duties, the Son of God grew and waxed strong. And, you know, Jesus was our example. That's what he did. All those years of unnoticed, and now as hindsight, people really, really want to know what happened to Jesus, what he did during all those years where there's not much written about him. But I think this says it good. It was unnoticed. It wasn't written down. It wasn't talked about. But that's where he grew and waxed strong. And that's the school where each of us can do the same. Sacrificial serving for God, because we love the Lord, and we can grow strong, and our blessing and our reward is in heaven, and I believe there'll be some here too. But I think that we shouldn't be focused on what we might find here. We want to do it because we love the Lord. I'll close with that. I'll leave it open for a little bit.